Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
B, I want to get to these free agency grades, but I did want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Caboli is a reporter for The Athletic that covers Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted this out, and this stood out to me. Cole Holcomb is the exact size the Steelers always look for in an off-ball linebacker, 6'1", 240. Would you be surprised at all if Holcomb lands up there and balls out? Like, if they want him off-ball and they wanted him in a different role here and they learn how to use his speed, maybe he learns a little bit more.
I wouldn't be surprised, because that's like you call Penn State linebacker you.
Steelers tend to be pretty good, man.
They linebackers play well. So I wouldn't be shocked.
No, and I think so I thought this was a fair tweet. This is from my guy Chuan B on Twitter. He says, players that actually play think it's a loss, don't understand why fans and media don't think it won't be either. Not saying he's Ray Lewis or Patrick Willis, but to act like it's nothing is crazy to me.
Players and that play with people sometimes are friends, and sometimes that's what they're going to say. So
emotional loss to them.
First of all, a player said it. Every player didn't say it. And let's stop just trying to act like just because somebody says something, you got to believe it. We watch people all the time in the same profession with somebody, and they lie, and they say things because they like a person. In the media, people say stuff about people because they like them. You know? So let's just understand that. You know, I watch him play, and I watch a lot of other people play. And I see plays that he doesn't make that he should be making. So I guess because I'm not playing anymore, I'm not supposed to know anything about football, right? It's craziness.
So, Landfill, you sitting down? You better be, pal. A.J. Brown, good player.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree on that?
Yeah.
A.J. Brown's become a pretty damn good Twitter follow, I would add. A.J. Brown, star receiver for the Eagles. The decision for the Titans to trade A.J. Brown instead of paying him basically got the Titans GM fired.
True.
They fired him, like, with four games left, as A.J. Brown just killed everybody. The Game Day NFL just tweeted this out. It's been a rough couple of days for Eagles fans. Javon Hargrave to the Niners, TJ Edwards to the Bears, Marcus Epps to the Raiders, and now they're going to release Darius Slay. A.J. Brown, maybe speaking on behalf of Landfill, just tweeted out the GIF. I believe it's from Wolf of Wall Street when I blank on this dude's name. The short, fat dude that was in Superbad, that's in Wolf of Wall Street.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill is just kind of exasperated and rubbing his forehead. You know that move when you're like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
That's A.J. Brown. Howie Roseman may be. I'm not. Oh, Miles Sanders just chimed in. Landfill, you sitting down? Miles Sanders reacting to the release of Darius Slay. What the hell is going on? Philly's misery is my joy. I want to be clear on that. There's a lot going on in Philadelphia.
They didn't read. They just saw the writing on the wall. They didn't read it.
Well, I think if you look at Slay and the contract, you had to know that was coming. I doubt players look at contracts like I do, but most long-term deals you see aren't long-term. They're three-year deals. And that, I'm not saying he's doing it right. I'm not saying he's doing it wrong, but I think Lamar Jackson's aware of that, and that's why he's holding out. Or holding out's unfair because they're not playing right now, but that's why he is looking for a legit, fully guaranteed long-term deal.
Smart man.
Darius Slay is going to be 32 when the season starts. Oh, no, I guess his birthday's New Year's Day. He's already 32. Howie's being savvy, man, and I'm sure there are
Howie's deal is to keep the team afloat and build for the future, per se. And a lot of players don't recognize that. That's why a lot of times you don't want to have a coach. That's your GM. Because they can't do both things.
It's hard to separate.
Yeah.
The other thing that's going to be interesting is what they do with Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is a great player, but he's got a $24 million cap hit with no guaranteed salary. That would lead us to believe there's going to be a restructure there.
More than likely.
Dead money's starting to really add up for the Eagles. You're looking at, even before they release Slay, which they're going to do with a post-June 1 designation, so it's an $8 million dead money hit. When you do it post-June 1, you get to spread that out over 4 years, over 2 years. So it'll be $4 million on each side of the next 2 years. Eagles are going to have almost $60 million in dead cap. That's a lot, man.
True.
How he's shown he can continue the operation. What they need is N'Kobe Dean ready to play in place of T.J. Edwards, and what they need is Jordan Davis ready to play 17 in place of Javon Hargrave.
Yeah.
If those two things work out, should work out.
Mm-hmm.
Life has a funny way of not working out the way it's supposed to, especially in the NFL. So we'll see. We'll see.
Some people just seem to be able to work miracles, though.
I do believe it's premature to have a grade on free agency. But what ESPN did that I think is smart is they graded each specific move that teams have made in free agency.
Yeah, I saw one of them I didn't like.
All right, well, which one was it?
The grade they gave them for Deron Payne.
Okay, we'll start right there because that's clearly the biggest move of the Commanders' offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lanville, can you tell me who the author is on this? Is it Barnwell? Or is it – see if you can track that down. ESPN gives the Commanders re-signing defensive tackle Deron Payne 4 years, $90 million with $46 million guaranteed at signing, a C. Here you go. Following Payne's breakout performance in 22, the Commanders weren't willing to let him hit free agency. Payne recorded 11.5 sacks, more than doubling his career high in a season to that point. And his 13% pass rush win rate at defensive tackle ranked 12th in the league and also was a career high. Washington was the only team in the league with two top 15 players in pass rush win rate at defensive tackle, with Jonathan Allen being the other. But should Washington have extended him or just kept him on the franchise tag? At this price, I think the latter. Payne's $46 million fully guaranteed at signing is far more than the $19 million the Commanders would have paid had they simply let Payne play on the tag in 23. Plus, an additional $9 million of 2025 money in this deal becomes fully guaranteed in March 24. While another strong season from Payne would have made him more costly a year from now, that performance is far from a guarantee. He has only hit double-digit sacks once in five seasons. Guaranteeing the additional $27 million seems like an unnecessary risk when playing out the tag was available. I think this is from Seth Walder, the grade. What do you say to that, B?
I disagree because I think the $19 million this year is more than what it's going to be based against the cap once they sign a deal and they got it structured how they want. It gave them more leeway to go out and get other players and sign players and things like that. If you play him on the tag and then he goes out and have another year just like this year, what's that price going to be next time? You know what I mean? So they're basically grading this based off of 1 year about what they paid him. I don't care what a team pays a player. You know what I'm saying? Because this sport is about. You play well, you get paid well. But This team is structured and built based off of their D-line. The two anchors in the middle are going to help you out tremendously. I think just playing the tag, that's not what you want to do. They're trying their best. I watched the video with him and Ron, and Ron was like, you know, hey, you earned it. Told you, if you go out and do it, you'll get paid. You don't want them. You don't want everybody to start thinking this team is just about, oh, I'm going to give you a tag, and then you're gone.
So that's where I think analytics, guys, I believe analytics should absolutely be a part of analysis and a part of front offices and a part of personnel evaluations. But I do think if this is strictly about the numbers, I get what this dude's saying. You could have had him on a tag cheaper this year and then reevaluate this thing next year if he's able to replicate those numbers. That premise adds up. Like, there's no hole in that logic.
Until, it's not just about the numbers, though.
Until you step in the locker room.
See,
until
Deron
Payne skips OTAs.
Yeah,
like, there's a million things that would happen.
And then I think we get caught. It ain't just about the numbers.
Right.
So, you know, eventually you got to do stuff to worry about the reputation and things of that nature, too, and make people believe that you're telling them the absolute truth about some stuff eventually. And why play that game of, oh, let's wait and see if he could do it again? He may not. The franchise tag, you're paying him basically 19. What's his number against the cap this year?
This year it's 9, but it jumps.
I know it jumps, but still it's 9 this year. That's $10 million you can go put in other places. You can better your team around him. So I think they needed to do the deal.
I just think if this dude's an analytics dude, Seth Walder, he's a good reporter. He puts out interesting stuff. I'm not knocking Seth at all, but he covers the NFL from an analytics standpoint. I know from being in the locker room and dealing with the people, Deron Payne is the only defensive lineman whose locker is on the opposite side of the room from the D lineman. Probably just because he wanted a corner. Veterans of a certain stature get corner lockers, mm-hmm. right? That's just how it goes. Or they get two lockers side by side, so you have a little more space. Hell, it's been well documented now that the Commanders don't have the biggest locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if he was on a tag, probably wouldn't come to OTAs.
Yep.
Probably would skip everything except veteran minicamp, because you can get fined for that. Then you know what happens? All the other players have to answer a question, why isn't Deron here?
Mm-hmm.
Then the tweets and the Instagrams and everything else. All of that has an effect that is immeasurable to analytics.
Yeah, analytics don't deal with the human side of things.
I know that.
They deal with straight numbers.
Bringing Deron back probably lets Montez think, all right, I got to ball out again. I got to ball out probably for the first time. Sweat's been good, but never great.
Mm-hmm.
But guys in that locker room know, hey, man, if I actually do it, they'll take care of me. I'll get paid.
Yeah.
That has intrinsic value that can't be measured analytically. It also allows Ron to not be full of it.
Mm-hmm.
We challenged a kid. He showed up. We took care of him.
Because if you don't, somebody
that word gets out
you
too.
You tell somebody else that, they're going to go, nah, man, you said that to Deron.
So I don't disagree with the analytic answer on the Payne deal. You could have kept him on the tag, paid him $19 million, seen if he matches the production. But should he have matched the production, it's going to cost you even more next year.
Yeah, if he matches the production, then you probably what happens next year if you can't pay him then? And then you have to let him walk. Is that okay? That's where the analytics people get on my nerves, where you forget about that's a human side of this thing too. And you can give me numbers, you can give me situations all you want. You still have to have human beings go out there and perform so you can even must bring up those damn numbers. And you don't have a good enough player, those numbers don't make one bit of damn difference. You know, people tell me all the time, oh, if you shoot a certain amount of three-pointers, if your dude can't shoot three-pointers, who cares if you shoot that amount of three-pointers? So if your team is based defensively built and you have to stop people, if you don't have two big bodies in the middle, that defense is not going to look very good. They thought they were anchoring what they needed to do. So I feel that I don't think it's a C. I think it's better than that.
I can see where you land, but I don't think that's taking in the entire picture.
Mm-hmm.
The only other, I guess, Commanders transaction that made the grade sheet over at ESPN was the signing of Andrew Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think he's going to be the tackle with Cosme playing guard. I think you advocated for that, moving Cosme inside.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. It sure seems like it's going that way. I'd like to see Cosme get a chance. The most important thing for Cosme either way is staying healthy. He's got to be able to stay on the field. In his two seasons in Washington, he's missed. How many starts do you think Cosme has in 2 years here?
2 years?
34 possible games.
20.
15 starts.
Wow.
He's been active for 23 games, but a bunch of those games last year, he was like the super emergency option that he was only active because of like the roster mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
We can argue about guard or tackle all we want. Body type, does he lean too much? All of those things. Are his arms long enough? If you can't stay on the field, it's irrelevant.
Totally.
The Andrew Wiley signing is something I expected to happen. I predicted that on these airwaves and on the podcast. Wiley comes from Kansas City, played for Bieniemy, knows that there's going to be more movement on this offensive line and understands it. Really positive grade from ESPN mm-hmm. on Andrew Wiley. I'm going to explain that. And something happened at the park that I'm going to explain that is not a surprise. This was planned. I've been aware of it. I was curious if this would make Twitter. It appears it has. I'll explain. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I don't think it's appropriate, frankly, from either of you, Brian or Lanfill, to comment on my nuts. I'm just a 41-year-old man sitting in here eating nuts.
You could say, do you want some pistachios? And that'll solve the problem.
I said, did you want some nuts?
And I said, no, I'm wanting none.
And then Lanfill chimed in, talking about the cleanliness of my nutsack. It's a Ziploc gallon bag full of pistachios for all you creeps out there.
Right, maybe you should just say that.
I didn't say anything. Lanfill said it.
I just think it's strange that you're handling it in front of us.
I offered you some. Isn't that what do they say when you're in elementary school? If you're going to bring a snack, have enough to share with the whole class. I got nuts for everybody.
I'm good.
Brian, since this is your preferred nomenclature, would you like any pistachios?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't change what I say.
Now, Brian.
No.
I'm asking you if you want to hear the ESPN grade on Andrew Wiley, the tackle, it appears, the Commander's sign.
Mm-hmm.
All righty then. Commanders agree to terms with offensive tackle Andrew Wiley. 3 years, $24 million. And if you could hear that noise, I just got a DM on Twitter. Wiley is an underrated pass protector who will help whoever starts at quarterback for the Commanders in 2023. I think his reputation is slightly dinged by Patrick Mahomes' higher than average time to throw and pressure rates, but his pass block win rate, which measures how frequently he sustained his block for at least 2.5 seconds, was strong at 93%, best among offensive tackles. I do put some stock into the general view of Wiley, but it's hard to shake how strong his player tracking numbers are overall. Even if Wiley is an average pass-protecting tackle, and I think there's a solid chance he's better than that, this is a good price for the Commanders. The grade? An A-.
All right.
The author, the same author that gave Daron Payne the C, Seth Walder.
If you come in and you're trying to say the thing about Pat's, you basically were saying Pat has a higher rating because of how Pat is. How do you, in the end, grade him at an A? I'm just like, you basically say, well, this is skewed because of Pat being so elusive, in a sense. And then you come back in the end, well, but he's an A. In that thing, he says he's an underrated pass protector. Okay?
So it's interesting because
I think that's more of a B-.
Says his reputation is slightly dinged by Patrick Mahomes' higher than average time to throw and pressure rates. So because Mahomes holds onto the ball longer, maybe that's hurting his quarterback pressure rates, because Mahomes being a magician will keep in and kind of out of the pocket longer than a lot of QBs, moving around trying to find a play, and in turn there might be some QB pressures that Wiley gives up that if a quarterback was 1-2-3 step drop release, he wouldn't have given up.
He gets touchdowns.
I would also add that nothing helps an offensive line more than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're also generally going to have a higher win rate on pass blocking as a right tackle than you are as a left tackle. Mm-hmm. Typically, the left tackle's facing the most elite pass rusher. Typically. I mean, guys move around. I like the Wiley signing. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I do. I like the signing.
It seems a little higher than I would expect. For the grade, for a guy that I'd say is unproven, but that's how you get a tackle for $8 million, is you get a guy that's unproven. I liked Wiley. 6'6", 310. Undrafted guy at, I think, Eastern Michigan. He's started 59 games since 2018. Largely been durable, played all 17 last year.
I like that.
And one thing you don't know by just looking at box scores here is you're not sure that, like in 2019, he had 11 games, 11 starts. Was he possibly inactive early in the year because he's a undrafted guy kind of making his way onto the field? Like maybe we need to get somebody from KC on to help us understand his role out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know this, B. In 5 years with the Chiefs, he played left guard, and right tackle.
Okay, he can play everything. I like that. I like the versatility.
In 2020, he played 100% of the offensive snaps for the Chiefs at right guard. This past year, between guard and tackle, he played 95% of their snaps.
I like that.
He started 11 playoff games.
Experience.
Among active players, that's tied for 20th most in the NFL. He's played the same amount of playoff games as guys like Von Miller, Fletcher Cox. He's played more playoff games than Matt Ryan, the Honey Badger, Cam Jordan, Randall Cobb, who apparently Aaron Rodgers can't live without, Orlando Brown, who it'll be interesting to see what kind of money he gets.
Yeah. 4 o'clock
today when this thing really opens up. Just for comparison. So think about a guy like Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, even Mahomes. I mean, they've started a ton of playoff games.
Yeah.
How many playoff games do you think Mahomes has started?
This is fifth year?
Fifth year as a starter.
I would say right around playoff games, 17, 18.
14. Remember, they get a bye a lot, too.
That's right.
Okay, what about Rodgers? Rodgers is about to turn 40. How many playoff games do you think he started?
He'd been in the league for, what, 17 years?
Now, he didn't start the first two. It was Brett.
Let's go 17.
21. Blackjack. Now I'm going to ask you Tom Brady's number.
He's been in as many as you can.
Not that number, Landfill. Get your head out of the gutter.
40 plus.
48.
Yeah.
More than double the number two player, Devin McCourty, who started 24.
Mm.
That's crazy, man.
And who was Devin McCourty playing with?
Brady.
Tom Brady.
For most of that, yeah. What about Joe Flacco? How many playoff games you think for old CAA Player of the Year, Delaware Blue Hen?
Let me see. Joe had.
They had a Super Bowl run, and then the following year they had a deep run. And they never had to buy.
I couldn't tell you with Joe.
15.
Joe played 15 of them?
Dude, one behind Russ Wilson. Wow. Wouldn't you think Russ is like far ahead of that?
I would have thought.
It's kind of interesting.
But then again, you know, the Ravens, they're in the playoffs a lot.
Yeah. Ben White likes to ask me, he usually texts me before he comes on and says, what do you want to talk about? Today he just said, banking crisis, ?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Of course.
We're very, very concerned.
We want to know.
We're going to talk NCAA hoops with a Hall of Famer at noon. Gary Williams joins the program. We're going to make our survivor picks for tomorrow. Maybe talk a little brackets. Ben White joins us next. Let's talk banking crisis.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, you know that song. You know what day it is. It is Ben's day. And the financial world, kind of messy.
Blundering.
To describe it pleasantly, our guy Ben White, chief economic correspondent for Politico. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Morning Money Ben. Ben, thank you for joining us, brother. I imagine you are busy as hell.
Oh, my God, man. I'm already completely exhausted by this, and it does give me flashbacks to 2008, 2009, last time I covered a banking crisis. I'm here to tell you I don't think it's going to be like that or as bad as that, but, yeah, I've been pretty much full out since Saturday when SVB started wobbling, and then over the weekend as the government moved to try and save the financial system. So, yeah, a little ragged, but still plugging away.
When you think Silicon Valley, Ben, you don't think about problems. You think about a lot of money. What happened?
Well, that was part of the problem. Yeah. I'll tell you briefly without getting too into the weeds on it. Silicon Valley Bank, go-to bank for all your VC investors and startup executives in Silicon Valley. A lot of people who had accounts with over $250,000 in them, that's the limit or was the limit on FDIC insurance. Silicon Valley Bank, in order to pay depositors, had to sell a bunch of its bonds at a huge loss, $2 billion loss. People who had their money in there freaked, thought it wasn't safe, started to pull it out, which is classic bank run, and it continued to the point where Silicon Valley Bank was no longer solvent. They did not have the money on hand to keep operating and to pay depositors, so they got taken over by the federal government and will be sold off in pieces. And the fear was that would spread to all other mid-sized banks that had similar kinds of portfolios and similar kinds of depositors. Thankfully, there aren't that many like Silicon Valley where you have people, a ton of them, with over 250,000. And what the federal government has essentially done and did on Sunday is say implicitly, if you have money in these banks, don't worry, we will make you whole and backstop you. So theoretically, that should stop the crisis. It hasn't yet because all of the financial system is based on confidence, and confidence has been shaken, and it will take some time to restore that.
Talking with our friend Ben White from Politico, chief economic correspondent. So everybody says, one, this isn't a bailout of what's happening with Silicon Valley Bank. And I think Ben's at the train station. I hope you didn't get run over, dude.
No. Yeah, sorry about that. The train runs, and I live on the river, the Hudson River in New York, and it happens to also be the Metro North Line, so occasionally you'll get that sound. So just think of it as ambiance.
Dude, that is authentic New York right there.
There you go.
They claim this isn't a bailout, and they claim there's nothing else to worry about. How accurate are either of those claims?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bailout in the sense that the money being used from the government to make all depositors in both SVB and Signature Bank, another one, this one in New York, that failed over the weekend for similar reasons, is coming out of FDIC funds that are generated by levies on banks themselves. So the banks pay into it, and there is enough money there at the moment to cover what's needed to be covered. That doesn't mean that there won't at some point be too much and that taxpayer money would have to be used, or they could assess bigger fees on banks, which they'll maybe do at some point, to replenish the funds. So from that perspective, not a bailout. From the other perspective, it's not really a bailout. What the Fed is doing is telling all of these mid-sized banks that have big holdings of U.S. Treasury that have lost value that they can borrow from the Fed against those securities as if they hadn't lost that value, as if they're still worth what they were once worth. So that is a nice advantage for these banks to be able to do, and should theoretically stabilize them. And it's not a direct bailout, but it is sort of the backdoor federal guarantee of all depositors in all U.S. banks. So at the moment, we're not siphoning off taxpayer funds directly, but it doesn't mean we won't have to at some point.
I heard something about some class action suit against one of the presidents or something of the bank? Is that something that's going to happen?
Possible. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think what you're referring to is Silicon Valley Bank executive who sold stock before all of this happened. And there'll be examples of other people probably who have done that. And yeah, that is both possible civil and criminal in that if you're trading on material non-public information, even if it's about your own bank, it's illegal. You can't do that. You can't know that your bank is about to undergo a huge run and possibly fail and dump all your shares, you know, without having disclosed all that to the public. So, yeah, anybody who from any of these banks who sold a bunch of stuff right before things went south could be in some hot water, both civilly and criminally.
So I rarely do this, but we have a pretty big platform here. A lot of people listen to this.
Sure.
Like I have a Capital One account and a Bank of America account. I got nowhere close to over 250K in any of them. By and large, the average person, our money is safe, correct?
Yes, correct. Absolutely. I mean, it's 100% safe.
So I think that's important to point out. That with that said,
you're not going to lose your money,
But with that said, dude, how concerning is everything going on? Because I was reading some stuff from you. Basically, what I've started to do is I follow Ben on Twitter, and the people he interacts with, I've started following them. Mm-hmm. And it sure looks like these inflation numbers are actually way worse than they seemed for a little while, and they're not going anywhere. And the thought was, all right, they'll just keep jacking interest rates. But now the interest rates are starting to take some of these riskier banks down. So what the hell happens
exactly
next?
The problem. Yeah, that's exactly the heart of the issue that you got to there is that, you know, this is a result of interest rates going up and banks not being prepared for that, not making their portfolios safe for that environment. And there's some fault to the bank executives for doing that, for not seeing this coming, because everybody knew the Fed was going to be hiking rates. But now, as you say, inflation is not relenting the way they want it to. So from that perspective, they got to keep raising rates, but they also risk creating worse crises if they keep doing it. So I think what they'll do at the next meeting later this month is instead of raising a half point, it was once under consideration, they'll raise a quarter point and say some gentle language about being aware that there's stress in the system and they'll take care of it. But if they were to go to zero and just say all of a sudden we're stopping our rate hiking campaign, it would look A, like panic, and B, stop the fight against inflation, which they got to keep up. It's a very tough position to be in. They got to keep doing the job on inflation, but not in such a rapid and aggressive way that it makes what's currently going on worse. I don't know that they can pull it off, but I think what they do is go to a smaller rate hike next time and try to reassure people that they understand that they have to be careful going forward in not making the banking system crisis worse. Mm.
Dude, so I think I've said this before. I feel like everybody in D.C. works in commercial real estate. Like, how many people do we know that work in commercial real estate? Everybody does, right? And I've said this to my boys that work in commercial real estate. Everybody could keep telling me that the economy is cool. But just drive around downtown D.C., and I can't speak for every big city, but I bet a lot of them. And yesterday I drove down Wisconsin Avenue instead of my normal Mass Ave route. And Wisconsin's like a little more commercially based. Dude, Friendship Heights, you're from here. You remember Friendship Heights forever and ever had really high-end shopping, a ton of restaurants. Yeah. Right now, they are currently about to blow up Mazda Gallery, and Chevy Chase Pavilion is damn near empty. And you keep going down Wisconsin Avenue. It's just vacant, for lease. Fences around buildings. It feels like they're converting everything to condos. Like, for a while, it has seemed that there is real pain out there, and somehow it's not getting to us. Is now the time where it's going to hit us?
Yeah, I mean, I think particularly in commercial real estate and in residential, too, it hasn't shown up much in the numbers yet, but I think your anecdotal point about seeing these empty spaces, and you'll see construction projects that wind up getting stopped because it's just money is more expensive. You can't borrow as easily to build projects, and people can't take out mortgages because the rates are higher. So, yeah, I mean, it is going to slow further in those sectors. And the Fed wants it to, frankly. I mean, they're trying to slow things down in residential and commercial real estate to a degree. And it will happen, and it probably will exact some pain in the economy more than we've seen so far. But it is likely. I mean, anytime you have rates jump this high, this fast, the natural place that gets hit perhaps hardest is construction and home building and everything that goes along with it, because there's just less demand from individuals to either move into new office space or new housing and pay super high rates.
Is that what's happening with Amazon over there in Crystal City?
That's definitely part of it, I think, is they've trimmed in their sales a little bit on the extent to which the economy is going to grow and consumer spending is going to grow in the face of inflation, and that they don't need as big a footprint or as many people as they thought. So that would tend to scale back the HQ plan for your area, and I think that's what you're seeing. Like, it's not going away, you know, it's way too late for that. They got to build the thing, and they have plenty of people that can have work there, and they're still a very thriving company, but just less robustly ambitious perhaps than they were a year or two ago.
Man, interesting times. We are lucky to have you every week, Ben. We sincerely appreciate
the
time.
Not a problem.
Didn't get to ask you, Taylor Heinicke, now an Atlanta Falcon. Yeah. What do you make of it?
I had to do it, I guess. Not worth paying him a lot more than what he could get in Atlanta. Sad to see him go, like the guy, but I guess they're looking for a backup to Sam Howell now. I don't have any idea who that is. But, pour one out for Heinicke, get a green bottle, and thank him for his service. And hope he does well in Atlanta.
Ben, thank you for the time. Good luck, man. Get some sleep.
Avoid
that
train. We'll try.
You're going to be busy, dude.
All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, that's our guy, Ben White. Give him a follow at Morning Money Ben. One, we got a money Hall of Famer, and now we got a basketball Hall of Famer. Gary Williams, one of my heroes, joins us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.